proceed, please.
Thank you. May it please the court, my name is Todd Sleggs, and I represent the appellant, Inner City Catholic Parishes, Inc., in this case. At this time, I'd like to reserve 3 minutes of my time for rebuttal.
Please keep track of your time.
This case comes to the court somewhat indirectly from a 1993 tax year case that was finally determined in a Board of Tax Appeals decision and order dated August 30th of 1996. The taxpayer, subsequent to the Board of Tax Appeals decision, received their tax bill for the tax year 1996 in late 1996 or early 1997, and at that time requested that the Board of Tax Appeals determination be carried over, the Board of Tax Appeals determination from the 1993 tax year to the 1996 tax year. In response to the letter from the taxpayer, the Board of Revision in Franklin County scheduled a hearing which referenced the 1993 tax complaint and identified it as a continuing complaint. When the case was heard by the Board of Revision, the evidence that was submitted by the property owner indicated that there had been no change in the property from the prior tax lien date of January 1, 1993, through the date of the hearing. The Board of Revision, in issuing the letter which led to the appeal giving rise to the appeal before this court, applied the 5% update factor that's discussed in the tape of the Board of Revision decision, and it's also referenced in the Board of Revision worksheets that are part of the record in this case. And what they did was apply the 5% land and building update factor to the 1993 Board of Tax Appeals decision that was dated August 30th of 1996.
How did taxpayer learn about the value for 96? Again, was that just through the tax bill?
Through the tax bill. The letter that's in the record in this case was sent to the Franklin County Board of Revision in February of 1997. The Board of Education appealed the Board of Revision letter to the Board of Tax Appeals, and the Board of Tax Appeals had two motions before them that led to the appeal to this court. One was a motion to vacate the Board of Revision decision that was filed by the Appellee Board of Education, and the other was a motion by Inner City Catholic Parishes to dismiss the appeal for the reason that the Board of Revision letter on the continuing complaint issue was not a decision of the board that was subject to appeal under 5717.01 of the revised code.
Could that letter have stood on its own as a complaint?
I don't believe so, Your Honor. The reason is that, and this is discussed fairly extensively in the briefs, is Section 5715.19D is really a self-executing provision. It doesn't require a complaint in order for that section to kick in. What really triggers that section is when is a complaint finally determined, whether it be by the Board of Revision or on an appeal to the Board of Tax Appeals, the Court of Appeals, or even this court. And on the facts of this case, we believe that what the Board of Revision did in this case was to correctly apply that section to the Board of Tax Appeals decision that came out on August 30th of 96. If you look at Section 5715.19, since the tax year 1993 included the tax year 1995, it was part of the same three-year tax period, if a tax complaint for that last year, 1995, had been filed, under Section 5715.19b, notice would have been given to the Board of Education within 30 days of the March 31st deadline for filing complaints. That takes you to April 30th. Then you go into subsection C of that same rule, and the Board of Revision is required to hear and determine the complaint within 90 days, or the complaint carries over. So that takes us to July 28th. In this particular instance, the 93 litigation was not concluded until the Board of Tax Appeals decision came out on August 30th of 1996, and we would argue, although I don't necessarily feel it's germane to the issue, you'd go another 30 days in order for the appeal time to run. But in any event, once we pass that July 28th date, the 93 decision would carry over under Section 5715.19d to the tax year 1996. The only question is, how is that carryover affected? And as I mentioned earlier, we believe that subsection D is basically self-actuating from the standpoint that once the auditor receives that decision, that final determination, he just need look to the statute and carry the decision over as required by law.
Did anything occur on this property that would cause an increase in the value? Was something added to the property or?
No. The record in this case, when we went to the hearing that was scheduled at the Board of Revision, Sister Mary Lois testified. She's the on-site management person, testified that there had been no physical changes or additions or alterations to the property between the time period of January 1 of 1993 through and including the date of the Board of Revision hearing, which was in either late February of 97 or early March of 97. There are two sections that I think are relevant and are discussed in the brief for purposes of identifying exactly how the auditor and the Board of Revision went about affecting the carryover in this case. Section 319.35 of the revised code talks about the auditor presenting it to the Board of Revision and the Board of Revision issuing a certification under Section 319.36. The alternative provision is 5713.21, which talks about the county auditor issuing some type of a notice to the taxpayer. In either case, we feel that the conclusion is the same in that whether it's a Board of Revision certification or some type of notice to the taxpayer, it's not something that's subject to appeal under Section 5717.01. It's merely the county auditor, either through the Board of Revision or independently, affecting a carryover under Section 5715.19d. And I think that the importance of the application of this section goes back to the idea of uniformity and consistency in terms of the treatment of taxpayers. Oberlin Manor is cited in the Board of Tax Appeals decision, dealt with a carryover within the triennial, the idea being that if all other taxpayers in the county have their value for 93, carried over to 95, when you do have a determination as the result of litigation, it should also carry over in the absence of any changes in the property so that all property owners are taxed and treated uniformly. In this instance, since the tax year 96 was an update triennial, the 93 values were adjusted by a percentage. And that's exactly what the Board of Revision did, was they applied the 5% update factor to the 1993 determination as made by the Board of Tax Appeals. By doing that, they ensured that Inner City Catholic Parishes was treated uniformly with respect to other taxpayers in that taxing district who had their 93 values updated for purposes of the 96 through 98 triennial.
Did the Board of Revision need to hold a further hearing in this case?
No. And as I said earlier, under sections 319.35 and section 5713.21, they're really focusing on, you know, how do we notify the taxpayer of this change. And there is a certain amount of discretion that's given to the county auditor under section 5713.21 and even under section 319.36 in terms of how that notice is sent out. And I think that's why both sections are discussed in the briefs in this case, because it's not clear, you know, neither of those sections are cited in any of the correspondence that was issued by the county in this case. So we feel that the county in this particular instance properly applied section 5715.19d. I think this case gives the court a chance to clarify just how section 5715.19d is to be applied in tax cases that cross the triennial boundaries. And we believe that it was correctly applied in this case, and that the Board of Tax Appeals decision and order basically vacating the Board of Revision letter was unreasonable and unlawful for the reason that that was not a decision that was subject to appeal to the board under 5717.01. And we would respectfully request that the court reverse the Board of Tax Appeals decision and remand the case with instructions to the Board of Tax Appeals to dismiss the appeal and leave the assessment as contained in the Board of Revision letter in place. Thank you.
Mr. Gorey?
Yes, I thank the board. My name is James. I thank the court. My name is James Gorey. I'm here on behalf of Jeff Rich. I think the simple fact of this case is that the appellant was required by law to file a complaint.
Well, they say they weren't. They say that this was a continuing complaint, and the Board of Revision treated it as a continuing complaint. Why isn't it a continuing complaint of the 93 case?
It wasn't a continuing complaint for the reasons that the BTA set forth in its entry. 5715.19d says that a complaint continues until it's finally determined. I mean, there must be a cutoff date at which a complaint ceases to be a continuing complaint. And it's generally been regarded, and the BTA decision reflects that fact, that if a decision by the BTA or a decision on appeal is made before complaints for the year in question can be filed with the Board of Revision, then you don't have a continuing complaint. To have a continuing complaint, you've got to have the ability to have a complaint pending at the BOR at the time the continuing complaint is through. The original complaint is finally determined. So in this particular case, if we assume the county auditor followed the law, and there's no evidence in record that he didn't, so if we assume the county auditor followed the law, 1996, it's the year in question, was an update year. The tax list and duplicate was not prepared until the first day in October of 1996 under 319.28. Under 5715.19a, you can't file a complaint for 1996 until you had a tax list and duplicate prepared, because that section says a complaint may be filed against the valuation, total valuation or assessment of a parcel that appears on the tax list. So
did anything occur on this property that would cause a value increase?
Yeah, on the property itself in terms of the new improvement, not to my knowledge. No. But we're talking about a 1993 value, and we're talking, the BTA's value was a 1993, and we're talking about a reappraisal update year, 1996, passage of 3 years. This court has previously determined that the 93 value doesn't carry over to 1996.
When?
Well, you just on the sense in Wolf and the Cincinnati Board of Education case. I mean, we've got.
I thought you were talking about this case in particular.
No, I'm sorry. The a continuing complaint or continuing valuation, because that's what the appellant is talking about, for a prior year doesn't carry over reappraisal or update. And that makes eminent sense. We've had cases, the Canalco case, for instance, lasted 10 years. Now, no one would contend that the valuation for the year in which that complaint was filed carries over for each of the 10 years. We would have crossed maybe, you know, two reappraisals, two six-year reappraisals, and a three-year update. No. And I think that's what this court has said. Valuations don't carry over. Now, the BTA held that we didn't have a continuing complaint in this case. The appellant is asking you to do two things. Either analyze this case in terms of the Board of Revision statutes, in which case you've got to have a complaint or a continuing complaint. You've got to have a hearing. You've got to have a BOR decision and an appeal. What they're saying is we didn't have the Board of Education didn't have the right to appeal because there was no Board of Revision decision. I think what they're asking this court to do is remove this process, this whole process, remove it from the Board of Revision laws. And I'd ask this court to give serious consideration to the consequences of that. A letter written to the county auditor saying we want valuation determined 3 years ago to apply to this year and consequently the next 2 years.
We don't have to expect that to occur, right?
Pardon me?
They had good reason to expect that to occur, right?
Oh, I think they had no right whatsoever to expect that
to occur. To expect the auditor to continue this value?
Well, sure, it's a three-year update. The auditor changed the valuation.
They revaluate every 6 years, right?
They revalue every 3 years. They do an on-site appraisal every 6 years. 5713.01 says an on-site, quote, on-site appraisal every 6 years, a revaluation without an on-site inspection every 3 years.
Is that a trending thing that they do?
It can be done numerous ways. It can be done by sales ratio studies. Some county auditors will actually do reappraisals. They're not required by law to do that, but they can.
That didn't occur here, though, did it? There was no reappraisal of this property, was there?
There was no on-site reappraisal. There was a revaluation. The auditor increased the value.
Didn't have to hold a hearing. No appeal of the
County Auditor did that, didn't he? Hamilton County Auditor did that once. Is there any statement from the auditor about what transpired? And the auditor is a party to that board, right? Member of that board. He's a member of the board. Mr. Landrum, how many minutes does Mr. Slayton do? Thank you, Mr. Slayton. Thank you. Thank you. This matter will be marked as submitted, and the parties will be advised of the decision.